Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome in Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a hump day.
Hump day.
Thanks for being with us. We appreciate it as always. Tons to get to over the next 3 hours. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? All good on this rainy, misty, whatever you want to call it, chilly-ass day up in this thing, man.
Gloomy.
Like, I just ain't ready. They came in, closed the pool yesterday, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, man. So it's just one of them things where you're like, damn.
Just to slam it shut.
Yeah, man.
So in case there was any doubt about what time of year it was.
Any doubt, it would get back to 80 just for a weekend. Mm-hmm. Yeah, everything just let all that know that, man, the worst is here. The worst is here. I know you like the cooler temperatures.
Yeah, I don't like this.
Oh, well,
I think you guys get confused when I say I like cooler temperatures. I'm not rooting for this.
Well, flannel is cool, right? You sweat to death if you wear flannel in June or July.
I know, but I wore flannel on Saturday and it was sunny out. It was perfect.
Yeah.
I like a crisp sunny day.
Yeah, I'm not about crisps. The only thing I like crisps, not chips. other than that, I'm good.
I like a crispy crust pizza, thin crust.
Oh, who does?
I like my jeans to be crispy when I go out, when I step out on the town. I mean, let them see me.
Do you iron both sides of your jeans?
Both sides.
Do you?
Yeah.
Good for you, man. I'm a
inside and out.
I'm a front side guy.
I haven't ironed a pair of jeans in my life.
Really?
No. No. If my jeans were wrinkly, which I mean, I don't. Yeah, I would just put them in the dryer.
Yeah.
For like 20 minutes.
Oh, see, I don't like the dryer stuff. But I'm trying to think. I haven't worn a pair. When was the last time I wore some damn jeans?
I don't know that I've ever seen you wear jeans.
I have so many pairs of jeans. They're all on the right side of the closet. But you know, I mean, I'm sweats and then like regular pants. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you know, regular pants.
And I'm dipping in my jeans, which I'm happy. I like my jeans.
Yeah, man. And linen pants.
I don't need it to be like this.
Yeah, man.
I feel like it is outside too. Hopefully, I don't know if people can hear it or not, but man, been stuffed up for a couple days just dealing with it, man.
Feeling like the Falcons offense. Fight through it, man.
Stopped up.
Yeah, fight through it, man. Fight through it. You know what I mean? We're over that, right?
Over what?
Over Sunday. Because it's time to move on.
I mean, it's
time to move on. It is work. It's work week. It's Patriot time. It's time to get ready to go up.
Oh.
And it'll probably look like this when you go up there, knowing damn Foxborough.
I mean, parts of it are still on my mind.
Yeah, I'm not. Oh, like what?
Like, why?
Oh, man.
How?
Yeah, I can't get. I got to let it go.
What you can do to fix it.
But that's what I'm saying. But you got to move on to New England when you're fixing it, because you can't do nothing about the damn Miami game. Just not let it happen again.
Yeah, right. But we said that about the Carolina game.
And then it happened again. But we moved on from that. We try to stay in this thing week to week.
Right.
Week to week.
Understood. But, you know, I hope that they, I mean, that's what they need to do, obviously. And I doubt that they will. You got to move on. And hopefully you get your quarterback back and get healthy and all that kind of stuff. But, yeah, no, we'll have Dave Archer on in about half an hour. And we'll still get his thoughts on some of what happened against the Dolphins. And, again, hopefully get some explanation on how they're going to get it fixed. And that's what they have to do now. It's an interesting time of the year where you're halfway through it.
Yeah,
I know they've only played 7 because they had the early bye. They've got 10 left, which is good. Thank goodness they have more left than they've played, because if you were feeling this way about them after 10 games, that'd be real bad.
Right.
At least they have 10 to try to fix
it.
But you're halfway through the season. This is week 9.
I know, man.
This is the time of year when you start to feel like you have a pretty good grasp of who teams are.
What are we talking about, November, December?
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. We always kind of give them 4, especially this day and age where no one does anything in the preseason, to figure out some wrinkles and, all right, get this guy up to speed, whatever. And then kind of the next four are where you check in and really kind of find out who you are. Well, I guess they got one more of those four to show us who they are. But late returns aren't great right now, man. Like, I don't know. I'm not as optimistic as I would have liked to have been at this point of the season.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, but I think the one thing is that you always got to base everything on the team you cover and the history of what you know about this team.
Absolutely.
Sometimes you got to, I mean, keeping that in perspective. Like, I don't blame people for being optimistic about the team and everything this year. And, again, I believe that, you know, there's still opportunity for this team to improve. I don't want to go out and just say the season's over. Then what the hell am I going to watch for? But I think that, you know, if certain things – because they have a formula. Their biggest thing is they have to stick to their formula. Now, but I think the biggest thing they have to do is when that formula isn't working, to adjust to all that. And they're going to a New England team who, in my opinion, Andy, I don't think New England is as good as their record. I don't. But I know we say you are with your record and all those different things. Now, they do some good things. Got a good young quarterback and everything like that. They have good players. Their defense is playing well, especially rushing the passer and things like that. I just don't think they're 6-2. I don't. I think the Falcons can go win this football game if they do their formula.
Yeah, I think the problem, though, for me is they're 6-2 in part because, their margin is probably as thin as the Falcons is on a given Sunday.
But the coach.
But they don't shoot themselves in the foot.
Yep.
The Falcons don't even shoot themselves in the foot. They shoot themselves in the shin, the knee, the thigh, the ass, all the way up. Like, they can't.
Cheddar Bob.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. They're just peppering their body. I mean, that's the thing is, okay, talent for talent, sure. I think you could have said the same thing about the Dolphins last week, because they're probably not as bad as 1-6.
Right.
Now, at that point of the season, they certainly looked like they were, and coming off that loss to the Browns, it looked like they were spiraling and things were out of control. But, you know, we say this going into every matchup, whether it's at home against the 1-6 Browns or on the road against the 6-2 Patriots or Monday night against the Bills, whatever, like, you come out with a good game plan and execute it. It's NFL football.
Yes. Like,
anybody can beat anybody on a given Sunday or Monday or whatever it is. The problem is that it's a multifaceted problem right now with the Falcons. The margin was always going to be thin because they're young quarterback and all that kind of stuff. They're not making up for it with their decision-making and their crispness and their execution and their plan and all that kind of stuff. Like, they've been out-coached the last 2 weeks.
Yes, they have.
Mike Vrabel's a really good coach, so... You know,
he's a very good coach, and I think the biggest thing with him is his team. And I played against Vrabel for years. His team is built like him, rugged, tough. Like, the one thing about Vrabel wasn't the by the time I got in the league and everything, he was very versatile, but he wasn't as fast as he was and all those different things. But what he didn't do, he didn't make mistakes. Like, if you got Vrabel, you just had to just be a better player on that play against him. That's just the way he played. But I think his team is a lot like that also. I think that if you can find a way to get some advantage, because, I mean, Stephon Diggs, their leading receiver, still playing better and better. I think he's getting more comfortable with the knee, and obviously
had a touchdown on Sunday against
his first one. And then the thing with Drake Maye's very athletic.
Mm-hmm.
He's very, very athletic. He's a smart young kid and everything like that. They can run the football. Hopefully Stevens puts it on the ground, because he can do that.
They both will.
They will put the ball.
Yeah. So Travion fumbled at the goal line last weekend, too.
He might be able to get some pass. Now, I'm not saying nobody's Myles Garrett, but, oh boy, at the left tackle from LSU, struggled. Now, that's Myles Garrett he went against, but at the same time, the pass pro ain't where it needs to be. Defensively, they can rush the hell out the passer. He went out and got specific guys like Landry. See, the one that went from Jacksonville, from LSU, Clayson?
Yeah, Caleb on Chase.
He has like 5 sacks, so they do a great job of that. They got a lockdown corner in Gonzalez. So they got parts that could give you problems. But I do think, like, if the Falcons could find a way to consistently run the football, hopefully Michael plays in this game.
Hopefully.
And they're able – hopefully you get Drake London back.
Hopefully.
And you're being able to do some things. Now – Josh McDaniels is in his wheelhouse.
Yeah,
he's an offensive coordinator for the Patriots. Because when he was offensive coordinator for the Rams, they were ass. But he's in his wheelhouse, being offensive coordinator with the Patriots. He's smart as hell. You think he watched the film last 2 days?
Of course he has.
Okay,
of course he has. Not only that, they're coming off of a couple of weeks where they've really kind of started to seems like, figure out what they want to do offensively. Yes. They got some good tight ends.
Yes.
Hunter Henry, I know, what's the guy that that used to be here? Austin Hooper.
Yes.
He's over there, too. I think he caught a touchdown on Sunday. They, I mean, they got sacked five times by the Browns and still put up a million points on them and fumbled at the goal line. Probably could have scored 40 on them last week. So their offense is rolling. The Patriots is right now better than they have been all year. And, of course, they watched the tape from the last 2 weeks. They're going to try to run it straight at him.
Yeah,
right in the middle of the defensive line.
And so now, if you're raw and you're in your brick, like, what do you do as far as your game plan? I mean, it seems to me like J.D. Britt, he's going to start again, probably. You know, because who else is there?
Yeah, I mean,
you know, I mean, there's nobody else in that linebacker
position. They talked about it being sort of a committee, right? But it was, I think he played 68 of the 69 defensive snaps.
But we talk about committee.
That's not a committee.
But we talk about the committee part. What is the committee? Is it okay? We're taking him off the field in base defense. I mean, I'm sorry, nickel defense.
Right.
Well, you know what Josh is going to do? Josh is going to keep him in damn base defense as much as possible so you can keep him on the field.
If that's what's determining him being on the field, they're going to put the personnel on the field to make sure that J.D. Bertrand
is out
there.
And so when you got that aspect of it, that takes away from what you're able to do with Caden Ellis and let him rush the passer.
Exactly.
You got to keep him in the box more.
Right.
You know, and so there's such a disadvantage.
And that was the big fear that we kind of started talking about when Divine Diablo went down. You knew who's going to be out for an extended period of time. Was when we were trying to figure out coming out of the Buffalo game what had led to the defense looking so much better so quickly than they had in years past. It was like, well, guys are put in positions to succeed. They're playing the position that they're best at. They're doing. They're being asked to do the thing that they're most successful at doing. And I think that's because Divine Diablo is able to do so much other stuff. He's versatile in the middle of that defense. So Caden Ellis can do what he does best.
Yes.
And so the guys on the edge could do what they do best. And I still think Jesse Bates is, even when Divine Diablo was out there, he was having a bit of a struggle of a season thus far. I don't know if he's banged up or whatever,
right.
But yeah, he's just been out of position a lot, it seems like.
Yes.
But Diablo's not out there anymore.
No.
So now everybody has to adjust a little bit.
Yep.
And now there's a guy out there who can't do that kind of stuff.
And then, you know, it goes back to it. I thought about this. And it was maybe a month ago. And we had one of our callers call up. And you could tell he knew who Jalen Walker was around that area. Like, Jalen could play off the ball linebacker. Is that a situation where if he's healthy, can he do it?
Yeah, that's the other thing. He hadn't played in two weeks.
So is that another situation where you could put him in that position? I know you want to be a pass rusher, but he's a versatile guy that can play off the ball. We saw what he did at Georgia. So, I mean, they've got to figure out, talking about the Falcons, a way to be able to go up there and play their best game, because you look like Cheeks last 2 weeks, man. And you're going up there to a team. Like I said, I think the Patriots are a good team. I just don't think the Patriots are 6-2 good. But you can't take away from what they've done. They went out there, they played Cleveland, they beat the hell out of Cleveland.
You know what they're thinking right now?
What?
We're about to be 7-2 good.
No,
because of who's
it.
Coming to town.
No doubt about it.
That's what they're thinking.
There's no reason not to.
Yeah. Say what you want about our record.
There's no reason not to.
Because we're not 6-2 good. We're about to be 7-2 good after these guys come.
And there's
to town.
No reason not to think that if you're them, because of the fact that you got them coming into your house. Hopefully don't come down to a field goal because what's his name?
John Parker Romo.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah. He don't make outdoor kicks.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, he makes indoor kicks.
I hope it doesn't come down to a missed field goal.
Please, Lord.
But it'd be really nice if it was a close enough game to be a field goal game. Because it, you know.
Like,
they were down 34-3 last weekend.
I just think this. I think, like, the Patriots.
The only thing they did was make a field goal last weekend.
But they can't. The Patriots aren't a big play offense. They're not. They're not a big play offense because they don't have explosive playmakers on that offense.
I think Kayshawn Boutte's pretty good. Or Booty?
No, he's a good player, but is he an explosive player? Booty.
He can get past you.
But I just
not careful.
I just think that, you know, they have an opportunity.
Yeah, I know.
They have an opportunity.
My bad. I'm analyzing this game from the perspective of last Sunday.
Yes.
I got to move on.
Yes. But, I mean, Drake May's playing really
having
good.
Having a hard time with
Drake
it.
Drake May's playing really good.
Stuck on Sunday, Randy.
Got to get off of it.
Doesn't matter really what I think. I picked them to win last weekend and they didn't, so what I think is irrelevant. All right, we'll come back. We'll tell you what's trending here on a hump day. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, play.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
He's very similar to how we did when we came to Buffalo a couple of weeks ago. You know, that kind of guy. You know, they can move around. They're very big. They're fast. They're mobile. So you got to prepare those guys the same way you did. You got to treat those guys very similar. Very similar styles. Very similar styles of play. And both very good, in my opinion.
There you go. That's Raheem Morris. Very complimentary of Drake May to Josh Allen.
He don't slide.
No. And physically similar size and all that. Slide. Josh a little further along. But yeah, I mean, that's a fair comparison. Probably the best we've seen the Falcons defense look in 5 years was how they played against Josh Allen that Monday night.
Yeah, I mean, no, Drake's a hell of a basketball player. I was reading, obviously 15-3 right now as far as touchdown and interception. So, I mean, he's taking care of the football. And I think, you know, he's just going to be, I think he's going to be one of the best in the league, Andrew, the way it looks right now. And plus, he has Josh McDaniels with him, which is going to help also.
I know good head coach.
Good situation. Who they're going to continue to evolve this offense run and get him some more playmakers and things like that. But, I think, you know, his biggest thing is that you can't let him get those Josh Allen big plays with his legs. The boy, he can spin it now. Don't get me wrong. He can spin it, but he can take off and run and hurt you with that. He's averaging, I just had it pulled up, but I mean, when you look at his, he almost averaged 9 yards a carry. And so he can hurt you with his legs as well as his arms. But I think, you know, when you look at where the Falcons are, they have got to stop the run. They have got to stop the run. And any quarterback, I mean, at his maturity level, when you get him in third and seven and plus, you're at an advantage right there. But if you're letting them win on first down like they have the last 2 weeks, let them win on first down, then you're going to be up against it because you're going to give them opportunity or him the opportunity to still be able to use his legs, his athleticism, roll out, and just keep the ball. So you got to get ahead of the sticks if you're the Falcons.
Yeah, I mean, look, the quarterback that starts for the other team is obviously always going to be a big conversation leading into the game. We've seen them have their best performance of the year against the best quarterback they've played.
Yes.
And some of their worst performances of the year against guys that we expected them to play well against. Right. Right? So it matters, but it also doesn't, right? Like they've got to go out there and actually play defense and play to the level that we've seen them do it a little bit here and there in order to affect the guy. And yeah, you're right. Like if Drake May has Travion Henderson and Ramondre Stevenson going for 5 yards to carry at his disposal and the weapons that they have to throw the ball, then you're going to be in big trouble. And I mean, that's the one thing that is still kind of, it baffles more the further away we get from it. For whatever reason, Buffalo got that going to start the second half and then stopped doing it.
Yep.
And James Cook was running great. And then they were like, we'll just put it in Josh's hands, even though the Falcons seem to be doing a really good job. Now, it's never a bad idea to put it in Josh Allen's hands, but you know what I mean?
I mean, you got the MVP.
And then you've seen the 49ers and the Dolphins the last couple of weeks be like, well, now what they were doing on that drive when they handed the ball off and ran it right at the middle of that defense seemed to really be a good idea. So you know what New England's going to do?
Yeah, man. They're going to run the football. They're going to try to get those two backs, and they're just going to try to go back and look at the film that happened in the last couple of weeks against this football team. And if I'm Josh McDaniels, I'm going to run the football. I know Mike V is in there telling him, hey, Josh, make sure we got – when he sits down, probably sat down with Josh yesterday or whatever, it's like, what's the game plan? What you looking at? Yeah, Coach, I think we could beat these guys by running between the tackles.
So what they did against Cleveland, too. I know Drake threw three touchdowns, but they ran the ball 35 times for 177 yards. They only threw it 24 times.
Exactly.
So that's
what they want to do.
Good recipe for a young quarterback.
If you could find a way to get that –
hey, we have a young quarterback.
Yeah. Why don't y'all do that? Because when you do that, he used to win.
Yeah. In fact, 3-0 in games where they run the ball 30-plus times.
Yeah, so, I mean, now it's –
what's the record in games where they don't run the ball 30-plus
times? But the thing
times?
About it, hold on, it's not even about being committed to it. It's not about. It's about being able to possess the ball so you can do it.
For sure. Yeah. They didn't – If they ran the ball 30 times last week, they would only pass the ball 5 times.
Yeah.
Because they only – I mean, they only ran 40 – slightly more than 40 plays.
Right.
Because they only got – 2 first downs.
Exactly.
They didn't have the ball.
So you got to possess the ball to get those 30 runs.
But you got to run the ball to possess the ball.
Exactly.
You got to run the ball effectively. But you got to win on first down. Right.
You got to win on first down.
You got to run the ball effectively on first down.
Yes. You got to be in a situation where you're in third and manageable.
It's a chicken and an egg thing, but not really. It's not.
That's like the second time this week you just said chicken and egg thing.
Yeah, because it's not a chicken and the egg thing.
Okay.
Did I say that earlier?
Yeah, you did. You said it earlier this week.
Well, it's like, does the run game work because... or does the offense work because the run game's going? Or does the run game work because the offense is going? It's not a chicken and the egg thing. The offense works when the run game is going.
Correct.
Period.
As they've shown us, yes.
Because with the chicken and the egg, it's like, which one came first, right? Yeah, would you know?
Yeah. Hand the ball to the guy.
Yeah, just give it to Bijan.
Yes.
That's the chicken. Give him the egg. I don't know.
And whatever. He got to hang on to the damn ball, too.
Yeah, don't fumble it. Yeah, that's part of it, ball. Definitely, for sure. All right, so this is a little bit off the beaten path. Let me mention a couple of other things first, and then we'll get to this. Because you weren't here last week when all the gambling craziness happened. The Hawks are playing the Nets tonight. Got to win that one. The Nets genuinely are one of the worst teams in the NBA, so got to win that one. Trey playing against his old AAU buddy,
yeah.
Michael Porter Jr.,
yeah, man,
the most quotable man in the NBA. The World Series is tied at 2 after the Blue Jays win last night, and Kennesaw State.
Way to go, Kennesaw State.
Stays undefeated in Conference USA. It's 6-2.
Way to go, Coach Mack.
Beats my UTEP Miners last night.
I know,
night,
dude. I know you got a soft spot for those guys.
Love UTEP.
Those Miners.
Here's Pat Narduzzi. Still the head coach at Pitt, which he always should be.
Yes.
Talking about allowing college athletes to gamble.
I just don't understand it. You know, I'm not addicted to anything. I just don't think it's a great thing to teach our young people how to do. You know, it's hard enough in the compliance office of trying to get your guys not to gamble. You can gamble on a boxing match. You can gamble, you know, on horse races because it's not an NCAA sport. But who's gambling on horse races, really? I mean, unless you go to the, you know, the horse track. But now, we're, you know, just, you know, it's a thing on your phone and you can pick it up and you can get on an app. And it's like, what are we doing? Like, and once you do it once and you win, you want to go do it again. It becomes an addiction. I just think it's not good.
I was in the car early because I had to run and do something for get something at the store, and I heard the morning shift when Allie Mack mentioned this, and so I was like, and the first thing I said was how he led that quote right there. That does not sound like a good idea.
Doesn't seem like a good idea.
When she said it, I said in my head, that does not sound like a
for
good
people
idea.
That don't know, yeah. Last week the NCAA passed rules essentially saying that college athletes are allowed to gamble on non-college football related things while they're playing, which. You know, okay.
You don't think that's going to...
It's not great timing that it happened the same week that an active NBA head coach got arrested by the FBI for a gambling investigation, and an active NBA player who's made over $100 million in his career got arrested for gambling. It's just kind of the furthering of this really softening stance that we've taken as a culture towards a thing that used to be viewed as the worst thing out there.
Correct.
Like, sports and gambling were the most toxic duo that existed for our whole lives.
Yep.
And then in the last 10 years, it's been like, yeah, maybe it's pretty great.
Because you know
I know why. Of course I know why.
Yeah, because they are.
Of course I know why.
Because they're gambling in our sport. We're not getting none of that.
Yeah, right.
You know what? They
finally convinced them that if you got a piece of it, then.
Let's get give us some of that money. Yeah. You give us some, and then we'll whatever like that. And we'll ingratiate it. Because it's ingratiating the game.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
It was too much money to pass up.
Yeah, man. And I think, you know, the scary thing about it, especially if you're talking about grown men, Chauncey Billups, and the thing with Chauncey, whenever you hear mafia, I'm not a big gambler. I've always admit that. Have I ever been to one of these games they're talking about? I have. I've been to these games that they talk about, and anyways. But when you're talking about,
I would love to hear more about that. No. All right.
But when you're talking about,
let's stay clear of the FBI.
When you're talking about these young people who are so influential, it's easy. Just like Coach Narduzzi was saying, they went a little bit here. Let me put a little bit more on there.
Yeah.
You know what? There's a college basketball game on my campus today. I know you can't gamble on it, but I can get this guy.
I can tell a guy. Oh, yeah, we were in class this morning, and the starting point guard had a boot on.
Yeah, like these are these. This is it's a dangerous thing.
But it's stupid.
It's a stupid idea. And I know Sank's way against it.
Yeah,
way against.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things that like. And I know you're not going to be able to stop everybody from doing it just by telling them not to.
Yes.
NBA players are told explicitly what not to do.
And that's the thing about it. Like, if you don't do it, and now you got to hear, now all last week, all after that happened, all this damn week, you got to go with all these damn compliance meetings. You got all these new damn papers on the damn wall talking about the gambling policies and all this other crap now. Yeah. Because these damn fools, I got another damn meeting.
I bet there were so many meetings over the last week for NBA players.
There's nowhere there wasn't. Because anytime something like this happens, it's a whole other thing. Okay, we got to remind these grown-ass men that they're not allowed to do this stupid stuff like that, man. And I understand the competitive balance and all that, the competitive advantages of being an athlete. But my thing, and I always say this, like, how much more money can you make than what you're making by doing that?
Certainly not more if you're Terry Rozier.
And that's when it goes back to athletes compete about everything. It's the competition part about it, man. And I'm just like watching cats gamble on airplanes, on watching we're talking about college kids, watching the NFL, the cats from Georgia that went to the NFL that would come back to Georgia and hang out with us and everything. And then these dudes are paid. And these fools got their little Pell Grant check gambling with these dudes. Like, what the hell is wrong with y'all?
Are you crazy?
What the hell is wrong with you?
That guy just signed a $30 million
like,
contract.
You're not, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I just that's the only part I'll get, man. Like you know, like Grandma said, all money ain't good money, man.
Amen.
All good money.
That's exactly what I was about to say.
Yeah, man.
When we talked about, we know why they're doing it, leagues, and why the shift has gone from no, don't gamble ever. We're not going to have teams in Vegas. No one should gamble. Yeah. We're not taking any of that money. To now, it's like, this update is brought to you by Bet blah blah blah.
Yeah, man.
We're gonna have our gambling expert to break down this football game. Who's the quarterback? Doesn't matter. Line's 4.5. We're gonna talk about the trends of the. Yeah, we know why.
Yeah, man, it's unbelievable. Hey guys, each and every Wednesday night tonight, join Day-Day Lewis for Prep Sports Nation, a comprehensive look at teams and athletes making news in high school across the state. It's brought to you by Ingles. Low prices, low savings. That's Prep Sports Nation. What I got, Day-Day, and make sure it's tonight here on 92.9 The Game.
Let's get a break. I don't know if this is one or not where I'm going to be telling you about Prize Picks. It'd be kind of funny if it was coming out of that conversation. But at some point I will. Promo code 99. Hey, Dave Archer is going to join us next. We'll get his take on what happened with the Falcons on Sunday and what they can do to fix it playing the Patriots on the road this weekend as well. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
Nine the game.
Oh yeah, I know I'm ready. I know we ready. We ready for a change from these last two damn weeks.
Yeah.
Ooh, I just like that part there. Ooh.
I would just think every Sunday at 1:15 or Monday night, whatever time you start, you'd be ready. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
You only get 17 of them.
Only 17. Only 17 guaranteed.
I also think they were ready on Sunday. I just think things went wrong and they went wrong quickly. But we'll see what Dave Archer thinks about it as he joins us on Wednesdays at this time. As always, brought to you by John Foy and Associates, experienced personal injury attorneys. Get the strong arm. Arch, how are you?
What up, Dave?
Always good to be on with you guys. You know, I don't know what it is about coming on with you guys. Well, I do know music, which is cool, but it always feels like we're just sitting in an Adirondack chair drinking some cold drink. Or maybe Andy and Randy, both you guys give off the vibe, but we're drinking a cool beer or having a rum drink right now, and there's nothing to worry about.
Dude, that's the whole vibe we're trying to put out
there.
Yeah, man. I got two Adirondack chairs on my front porch right now.
Yeah.
We'll be there this afternoon drinking something. Probably.
Yeah, no kidding.
Probably hot tea, given the way that I feel, but nonetheless. If you could fix one thing, like wave a magic wand and fix one thing about how this football team played Sunday, and maybe even take it back to the San Francisco game as well, that you think is going to lead to other things improving as well, what's the number one fix?
Wow, it's really a deep question, Andy. I'm grasping at like several different things here. Fix one thing. I think maybe the dysfunction, just the actual dysfunction that we saw on offense. Whether it was my receiver doesn't know where to go when I check a play, or that Charlie Warner comes in motion and doesn't trip and fall down and get up on the linebacker. We're on the right run tracks. On fourth and four, I'm not trying to throw a fade route against a 6-2 corner. I'm working the three receiver side on a rub route to extend the drive. Just the dysfunction. Let's get rid of the dysfunction. Just operate and execute properly.
Dave, when you look at defensively for where the Falcons are right now, we know they don't have a lot of girth in the middle of that defense. But yet, yeah, you know their motto when we spoke to them this summer was, you know, play the run on the way to the quarterback and things like that. How valuable has it? No, I'm sorry, take it back. What have you seen since Diablo's been out, Dave? What do they have to adjust with not having him in the game?
Yeah, I think that even with him in the game, Andy or Randy, if you go back, to the Buffalo game. Remember, Buffalo got some footing in that second half, in that first drive of the second half. We talked about it on your guys' show a few weeks ago. Why did Buffalo go away from it? I think the next time they touched the ball, they threw it three straight times, you know, and they had that nice run. I think that Tampa got a little bit of run game going in that game, even though they only had 290 yards of offense. They got a little something going run game-wise. I think that you got to get back to doing what it is you said you were going to do, is attack the field or attack whoever you're playing on your way to the quarterback. I haven't seen that certainly in the last couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. I think we're catching a lot. You know what that you know what I'm talking about? It seems like we're catching blocks as opposed to penetrating, getting upfield and disrupting. It's been more of let's catch, let's kind of read and react, and that's not what this defense is. Not a two-gap defense. It's a pick your gap and blow through it. And I think we've kind of gotten to where we're catching blocks as opposed to blowing through blocks.
Arch, I wanted to go back to that dysfunction word that you used about the fix. Because, yeah, I mean, we saw that for sure. Do you think that that's more attributable to kind of who wasn't out there? I mean, you're playing a backup quarterback. Drake London wasn't playing. Or is there more to it than that in terms of trying to get that fixed?
Well, there is certainly part of it was that. I mean, I thought Kirk had a really poor game. I thought that what he was supposed to be seeing, he wasn't seeing. I think, and if a 13 or 14 year veteran can get rattled, I thought he got a little rattled early in the game. Remember the first series of downs, they stone the run twice, and then they come with a 3-man stunt off his left side. Linebacker comes clean and hits him right in the mouth as he dumps the ball to Pitts in the right flat. I didn't think he was right the rest of the game. I just thought that he was really quickly, he was off balance. His eyes weren't going the right places. Wasn't seeing things pre-snap. He checked to a play. The play where he and Sills are not on the same page, he checks to a zone buster play, and they're playing man coverage. And Sills didn't get the check, first of all, so he runs his man adjustment, which is what he's supposed to do against man coverage, and Kirk throws the curl route against zone. So, yeah, that was it didn't feel right away for him. So getting back to your original question, I think there was a myriad of things that were going on. Some of it had to do with the new people in the game. I didn't think that we play, and Raheem said this, I think the offensive line, I talked to Chris Lindstrom on Monday on the coach's show, our player spotlight, and he completely fell on his sword. He said, hey, we were bad up front. We didn't get things done up front. And I think that carries to, I think people just think the five guys up front, Charlie Warner's a big part of what they do in the run game. And I thought Charlie had one of his poorer games of the year as well. Right. So I think there was a lot of guys you could kind of point to, and you're going to go ahead and include the play caller in there as well. It's not just the players. I mean, if we're struggling with something, let's find a way to get to something else or find something we can hang our hat on that kind of gets us going from a momentum standpoint. So everybody was culpable.
Nate, was it just a matter of them not having enough plays last week to get that run game going?
Yeah, I mean, you ran 17 plays in the first half, and you know as well as I do, to try to establish the run game, it's kind of difficult. If you ran the ball 9 times, you ran the ball more than half the time you had the football, you know, and so that's kind of hard to kind of – but I think that, you know, in that second drive of the second half where you had something going, it was 17-3, you're driving, you get the screen to Bijan out in the flat, he gets 17 on the screen, you go back to the run game, and actually Bijan's up the field in the run game, he's in the second level, and unfortunately, he knocks the ball out of his own hand with his knee, the ball's on the ground, you're driving to potentially make that a 17-10 game. Does that change the dynamic of the game? I mean, Miami seemed to be kind of moving pretty well, but does that change the game a little bit now? So it's 17-10, and all of a sudden you're thinking a little bit different about yourself. But to get back to your original piece there, 49 plays of really run play, or actually plays from scrimmage, you got down 24-3 after that fumble by Bijan. You had to kind of leave the run game in the dust.
Hey, Dave, what do you do if you're the Falcons defensively at that linebacker spot? Because, I mean, it's no secret that Bertrand had a rough game. And obviously he doesn't play a lot, not really a starter in his league. But do you think they go to a situation where if he's healthy they can move Jalen back there or somebody else possibly? Because we know this is a copycat league, and we know Josh McDaniels is one of the best coordinators in ball. We're going to find a way to keep this guy on the field. If he's in on regular defense, we're going to be in regular offense. Like, what do you think you'd do in a situation like that?
Well, the biggest problem is if Jalen's healthy to go, let's cross our fingers and hope he is, because he can really help us on the edge against the run game, let alone at the second level. Yeah. But he hasn't played any second level stuff since he's been here.
Right.
So how instinctual is he going to be? Because what I'm seeing with JD is not necessarily, there's a little bit of lack of, you know, we've been so accustomed to what Devine's done in the first seven games of the year or whatever it was, six and a half games of the year before he got hurt with his athleticism. And so it's better than JD's athleticism. But it's also, you got a young linebacker that's still learning and reacting. How much better will JD be in this game than he was the last game just because of what he saw? Is he going to read and react faster? Yes, there's still the limitations from an athletic standpoint. Other than that, there's not anybody else. You're going to have to sprinkle guys in like what they did with Ronnie Harrison, you know, 6'2", 215-pound former safety. You're going to play him in there, and you're trying to stop the run. That's a little, you're a little light in the ass to be doing that with a safety. And then do you put Josh, you know, Josh Woods was pretty good in the preseason. I thought he adapted to what Ulbrich wanted to do, albeit, you know, we didn't do a lot defensively, but he brings a little bit more punch to the table. And he's a guy that's a kind of a kamikaze type of guy because he plays special teams. Would Josh Woods be a guy that you would put in that situation? But I think it's going to have to be a committee of guys that play it for Devine Diablo's absence.
Hey, Arch, I know we're going to kind of get more on this as the week goes on, but it was a sort of a weird developing week last week with Penix's injury, him kind of limited, and then he was out there Friday, still limited, saw some video where he looked good, and then there was a report Saturday, and then we find out Sunday he's not going. Where do you feel like he and London and some of the rest of the guys that didn't play last weekend are going into this one?
Well, I was stunned, Danny, that Drake didn't go. I knew that he had gotten, there was a little bit of something going on Saturday, but when they declared he wasn't going to play, I was a little stunned by that. I don't know that Kirk Cousins wasn't a little bit surprised by that as well, but I think from those guys' perspective and the importance of where you are in the season, you know, the whole you need to go get one on the road against a really good team, a team that's playing hot. You're going to need all hands on deck. I would be surprised if Drake doesn't play. I think they'll test Michael today. Now, the problem is, and Randy will tell you, you know, when you get knees and ankles and you have to go on the AstroTurf or the synthetic turf, that's not the best thing for you. You'd like to be practicing outside on grass, but they're probably going to have to go inside today.
Right.
How much strain does that put on a bone bruise in his knee? But I think they'll test him today to see what he's got. Probably a limited. You'll probably see a designation of limited, but he'll go out and try it. And then, as Randy will tell you, what does it feel like the next day, right, Randy? How do you feel the next day? Yeah, how do you feel the next day? And I think that's what you're going to get on a couple of these guys. But I think ultimately Drake plays. I'll be surprised if he doesn't go. And in all honesty, I'd be surprised if Penix doesn't go either, but I think they'll try him out.
Tell us about these Patriots, Dale. We all know the young quarterback's playing really well. They're really well coached by Vrabel. We talked about McDaniels. What's going on with this squad?
Oh, my God. They're playing at a high level. And you know as well as I do, when you get the confidence, it takes you to another level as far as your play goes. I mean, you can have good design and good players, but when you start making it happen on the field, it comes to life, which is what it's doing for Drake May. And I think that the thing that you're most concerned about with Drake May, certainly throwing the football down the field, and Josh McDaniels is using different personnel groups, whether it's 21 or 12 personnel. He'll even throw three tight ends in there and try to come off the ball and run it at you, is Drake May's athleticism, which I think got grossly underrated by a lot of the media. I mean, the dude's breaking people down. When things aren't right, he's out of the pocket. They're not designing any run plays for him. He's just taken off. And I think that I'd like to see our guy do that. Once Penix gets healthy, I'd like to see him attack the game physically like Drake May's attacking it.
Arch, we appreciate it. As always, thank you.
Appreciate it, Dave.
Great to talk to you guys. Y'all take care.
Dave Archer there, Falcons Radio Radio Network analyst, former quarterback as well, joins us on Wednesdays at this time. Every single week, a lot of great stuff. I mean, I didn't, you know, you always ask questions, you don't know what he's going to say,
right?
I had no idea what he was going to say about number one fix. I would have guessed he would have said something about the run game. Like, yeah, stop being so damn dysfunctional.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's the right answer. Yep. Stop checking to the wrong stuff, falling down when you're going in motion.
And he's right. And you know how I love me some Charlie Warner. He did not play well.
Yeah.
He did not play well.
If he doesn't play well, the run game's going to struggle.
Yeah, and he did not play well. And neither did the guys up front. That's why I told you, if you see me a dork stat about some damn grade, go kick damn rocks. But I think, you know, the biggest thing with them is it's one of those things where you're when you have a performance like that, you're in a rush to get back.
Yeah.
You're in a rush to get back in that damn building. You really, really are. And it's going to be vital whether you get your quarterback back. I know some quotes are coming out of up at Flowery Branch, and Dukes and Bell will be up there today. Mm-hmm. Michael Penix still is day-to-day, according to Raheem.
Okay.
They're going to go through the walkthrough and all those different things. But what Dave said is more important because it's raining. And so they're going to be in the indoor facility, and so you don't want to do a lot with them. And, you know, you want to obviously want to try to get them reps and everything. But, I mean, when you're on that turf, and I've had a bone bruise in the knee, it sucks. But at the same time, it's just all about the pain management and how it feels the next day. Obviously, they're not going to put too much strain on him today to try to see maybe on Friday, see if he can be more of a full go on that day.
That's what was weird about last week.
Because what you're telling me is like this, like y'all were kind of shocked.
Yeah.
Well, not shocked.
They played it pretty close to the vest, right. Which you're always going to do with a quarterback.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, with Penix, because they, you know, how they do their week now. Like, yeah. Wednesday was, not really a practice.
Right.
So he was what do they call it? Like, he would have been limited if they would have practiced, right. but they didn't really. But then I saw a video of him out there practicing on Friday. He looked fine.
Right.
I mean, it's a video from practice, so what does it really tell you? But he looked fine. And then you get the Schefter thing on Saturday that was like, yeah, it's actually they're leaning towards Cousins. And then by the time we hit the air on Sunday at 9 a.m., we knew Cousins was going to be. And then the weird thing was Drake.
Yeah.
It was like, we didn't hear anything about Drake. I guess he was a limited participant on Friday in practice. We didn't hear anything about it.
Yeah.
And by the time Sunday came around, they were going to work him out in the stadium to see if he could go. Ultimately, he couldn't go.
Yep.
And now you don't have Penix or Drake London
against
the Miami Dolphins, and it certainly looked like it.
Yeah, I'm sure it did, dog. Hey, guys, this Saturday from noon to 2, join our gal Allie Mack at Luso Kia in Cummings. She gets you ready for the big game on Sunday. One lucky fan, obviously, won the ultimate tailgate kit, a 50-inch 4K smart TV with the rolling stand. There'll be other prizes and another winner-take-all home tickets for an upcoming home game. Again, that's this Saturday, noon to 2 at Lusob Kia in Cumming with our gal, Allie Mack.
Hey, that first hour of radio was brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. We'll take a break, come back, get to an NFL no huddle. Pretty good payday for a pass rusher in the NFC. We'll tell you about all that money coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.